The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on The Morning Drive. I'll be your host today. I'm Brian Burkle, and you are listening to The Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. Welcome to Monday morning. We have our conversation today is about the Hancock Shaker Village. So we have Carrie Holland here in studio with us. Carrie's the director and CEO. So we got lots to talk about with Hancock Shaker Village, so much going on. We're going to get to the weather in a moment, but again, I wanted to welcome you to Monday, May 4th. So May the 4th. You know what May the 4th is?
I sure do.
And what is that?
I've got a six-year-old who went deep into Star Wars.
Yes.
So, of course, May the 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you.
Yes. Yeah. May the 4th today. All right. So what we're going to do is get into our weather and... We will revisit that a few times probably today. Just why not, right?
So WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Monday, sunny, warmer with highs in the mid-60s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Night is cool with low around 50. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, that's the weather. Starting to feel like spring finally, right? We're getting there. So Carrie Holland, Carrie's the director and CEO at Hancock Shaker Village. Here on the Pittsfield and Hancock line. Mm-hmm. So we've got lots to talk about here regarding tons of events. We talked about, you know, I just mentioned it feels like spring. Spring is really big for you guys. Spring has definitely sprung there, right?
Yes.
Your big draw, of course, is the...
The Baby Animals
Festival. The Baby Animals, right?
Yeah, so we are like intimately familiar with the weather forecast. We are always watching it. As sort of an indoor-outdoor venue, weather very much plays a role in our programming.
Yep.
But luckily, we have so many interesting indoor options. Mm-hmm. And the Baby Animals Festival specifically has been going on for a couple weeks. We have one more week left of the festival. And it takes place right inside the Roundstone Barn. So even on, you know, cooler days or rainy days, we still can offer a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like it's our start to our season every year. We close for a couple of months in the winter. Being open in the winter with the historic buildings is just really tough on the buildings themselves. Not many of the buildings are heated. So it's kind of like a tricky experience for some of the visitors also.
Yeah.
So with the exception of one week in February, we remain closed to the public, special private tours withholding from January right up until April. And we open with a big bang with Baby Animals Festival. Mm-hmm. So all of the farm animals, the sheep, goats, cows, chickens, and pigs all have their babies right in that March, April window. And it's so fun for us as a staff to go out every other day, see who's new, what animals have arrived. And that just feels like a shame to keep that to ourselves.
Yeah.
So why not invite the entire county to come see these cute animals? And it feels for us like the unofficial start to spring, because then from there we're open 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
We're running through our programs. You know, we get into the summer and then the fall, and each season has its own flavor and feel.
Mm-hmm.
on the campus there, but spring definitely, I feel like it's got the highest quotient of smiles.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like well, who spring. Can look it's at a an adorable little piglet and not smile? So, yeah.
And it's a draw, not just to folks here in Berkshire County, but I just so you know, I ran into a couple on a hiking trail a couple weeks ago, and they're from New York City. And they said they were here to go to the Hinkai Shaker Village.
Oh,
they had been the day
that.
Before. And I said, for the baby animals? And they said, yes. And they said it was their second time up.
I love that.
So they come up 2 years in a row. They've made a trip up here just for the baby animals. So,
that's great. Yeah. You know, that's like the magic shoulder season that everyone in the Berkshires in the hospitality and arts and culture sector is always trying to figure out.
Yeah,
like,
right.
How do you get people to come up and not just in those crazed weeks between July, August, and then, you know, like 3 weeks in October.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Shakers are such an interesting Berkshires export for us. You know, we have, it's a part, very much a part of our Berkshires history. And it's internationally recognized. Like, we get visitors, we get tour groups from Japan, from Denmark, from Germany. We get just visitors on their own. You know, the amount of translated programs we keep on deck just to be able to, you know, provide some resources for visitors from overseas. I think there's this, like, special quality about the Shaker history and the Shaker story. Much of that is told through design. So that's a lot of how people discover the Shaker story. But then there's just so many compelling elements that are kind of like buried in and deeper and deeper as you go. So it's like, it's just a very interesting export sort of for the Berkshires, and people in New York City are paying a little bit more attention to Shakers. We had a big film out a few months ago with Amanda Seyfried, and so I think like it's a landmark. The campus itself is a landmark for visitors to come and seek out, but it's this story and this research and these other elements that people from around the world are drawn to, and it does help put the Berkshires on the map for a very different niche kind of way that, you know, Tanglewood has their moment, Jacob's Pillow, Massmoka, the Clark, like there's all these iconic places in the Berkshires. And we have a very interesting little niche there, too, with Hancock Shaker Village.
Yeah, and those pillars of Berkshire County, like, you know, that draw people in are the arts.
Yep.
Combined with all the natural resources and the outdoor experiences, which that combination itself is rare. But then you provide that historical part.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is yet another pillar. Right?
Exactly. So, right. And I just love that we're such a great, like we're a complimentary experience for so many other reasons why you might be at the Berkshires.
Right.
You know, maybe you've heard of Tanglewood and you want to go see a show. Well, like, oh, Aaron Copland is this big composer and he had this great work. A bunch of that was influenced, inspired by the Shakers. So, like, go see Copland and go see that show at Tanglewood, and then you can come back the next morning and have a daytime exploration of Hancock Shaker Village and his kind of, like, walk through the steps of Copland's experience and inspiration. So there's a lot of, like, very complementary stacks that we can kind of play a role in, and we love collaborating with the other institutions in our area. We do provide that like perfect like design, art, outdoor, farming, food, all these things kind of wrap around, and you can have a very authentic, unique experience at the village.
Yeah. And what are the hours for that you're open for the public?
Yeah, so we have like two seasons. Our sort of like lower season for visitation runs April until basically July 1st. Those are 7 days a week, 11 to 4. Once we hit July 1st through the end of October, we go from 10 to 5.
Okay.
Those are all on our website.
Yeah.
But it's just a small nuance with, like, you know, the days getting longer and packing more things into the day over the summer and the fall.
And you mentioned your website, and it is very extensive. You know, I always do my little research before something, you know, before these interviews. And there's so much there. And it was really well put together, by the way. So
it's a lot. We're always identifying the UX on that. Yeah.
but as we're talking, anybody who's listening today, if you missed some part of the conversation, this is about Hancock Shaker Village. If you missed some part of the conversation, I guarantee you probably the answers are going to be on the website. So yep. we'll refer you back to the website if there's some question that went unanswered today.
For sure.
Or unasked on my end.
For sure.
Yeah. So you get the baby animals. That's a big draw. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. That's great. That's a whole big family thing. And looks like you've been very busy over there too.
We've been very busy.
I drove by last week. I think it was on Sunday, and the upper parking lot. Was,
yes.
Was
once you hit the overflow, you're like, okay, this is a big day. Everybody buckle up.
Uh-huh. But obviously, it's a big draw. Who doesn't like the baby animals, right?
Yep.
But you've got so many different programs. Programs going on. You've got workshops. Mm-hmm. Right? Can you talk a little bit about some of the workshops that you do?
Yeah, the workshops are so, it's just like a really good add-on layer mm-hmm. to the experience. So you can come to the Hancock Shaker Village. You can have the museum, the like Living History Museum experience, tour through the buildings, check out the exhibits, go walk through the barns and see the animals, maybe see a demonstration or two with a blacksmith or a woodworker. So that's sort of like the core base experience. And then if you're into what you're seeing and experiencing, and maybe you want to try more hands-on, tactile programming, mm-hmm. you can look through our workshops. So a lot of those are Shaker-inspired, blacksmithing, the broom making, oval box making is sort of that iconic, mm-hmm. you know, woodworking element. And then, you know, a whole layered of like some little seasonal things. Some are a little more accessible from not as much of a technical craft required. So there's just a fleet of options mm-hmm. that you can kind of explore and have an add-on and kind of get your hands a little working.
Right. Give it a shot yourself. Try to
That's right.
Act like a Shaker for a day. Or take some of that skill with you.
Right? Yes, yes.
So you mentioned, just while you mentioned it, that the film that had come out, The Testament of Ann Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I know that parts of that were filmed here in Hancock. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. That was a very fun, cool, like once in a lifetime kind of like that experience, just mm-hmm. seeing all that come together.
Mm-hmm.
We were... excuse me, seasonal allergies. Thank you. We were approached by this Norwegian filmmaker, mm-hmm. Mona Fassfold, and she said, I've been working on this story. I have just become obsessed with learning about Ann Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Or I said, oh, okay. Like, that's not usually what people are coming to talk to us about. If there's a film or a creative project, it's often about, like, the Shakers in the 1800s usually, because that was kind of like the peak of the moment. Maybe it's about like more of that transcendental experience, and maybe there's like a twist with the visions that girls used to receive and the gift drawings. So not as many people know about Ann Lee or are interested in diving into her history.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were immediately intrigued. Said, oh, really? Like a Norwegian filmmaker wants to do a story on Ann Lee. So, like, you know, what's your interest here? And she had done so much research, immediately demonstrated just such a passion and knowledge base and a lot of inspiration behind the story.
Mm-hmm.
Said, okay, well, this is very cool. Like, what do you have in mind? How can we be helpful? How can we support? So they were still in the fundraising phase for the film. So they needed to work on a bit of like a teaser trailer. And so they said, well, we just need access to some of the buildings. We really feel strongly that although Mother Ann Lee was not, you know, all the Shaker villages came up after Ann Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, like, we know that she wasn't necessarily there in the Roundstone Barn, but we just want to feel that, like, power of the Shaker history mm-hmm. in these shots. We said, well, that sounds great to us. And so they came down in 2024. And brought a whole cast and crew, crazy setups, did a bunch of outdoor shots in the various paths and like our cow pastures, a bunch of interior shots. One in the Roundstone Barn that is like this dance sequence that is super powerful. A few in the brick dwelling, a few in the laundry machine shop. And they ended up using all of those shots in the film too. So that was the first base of filming. And, you know, they said, oh, we have Amanda Seyfried to play Ann Lee. And we were like, well, really? Like, wow, okay. This is like a big, this is a big film. You guys are like hitting hard here.
It's not a college production.
Exactly. Yeah. And we show up and there's one day, the Discovery Barn is like our kids' education space. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a cow you can kind of milk or like get the feel for mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the chicks are there, some barn little toys, and you can dress up like a shaker and do some arts and crafts and things. And that ended up being their green room. Mm-hmm. And so I walk in and they brought costume from London and all of these amazing setups. And they had a bunch of staff, like the whole team just, you know, scurrying about getting ready for these scenes. And someone turns around fully in shaker garb, period wear, and it was Amanda Seyfried, just completely like bloodied face. And they were filming one of the scenes after she had been attacked in one of the communities. And I was, oh my gosh, wonderful to meet you.
You got a little something there.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Wow, hello. But it was very cool. They came back basically every season throughout 2024 to do a variety of shots and do some B-roll. They had a final big week-long shoot in November of just filling in some gaps with a couple of big shots in some of our buildings. Mm-hmm. And so that was very cool. A lot of our interpreters and our staff ended up being an extra or, you know, helping with the production. And it was just very cool. And it's tricky to film in historic property because there's so many things that, you know, you want to get your crew in that space, but it's so sensitive. So they were very obliging to all of the barriers and restrictions we put on them, and we really like helped make it. It was a good collaborative effort to make it work.
And if you haven't seen the film, I recommend it. Yeah, I did watch it, and I learned a lot more about Ann Lee because I mean, obviously, you know, I learned that she didn't start Shaker movement. That actually started in England. She just brought 8 people over here, which quickly became 6, and so on, right? And tried to bring the movement here, but her background, you know, where she had so many tragic losses, and which led her to thinking that celibacy was the way to be closer to God, and that's where that whole celibate aspect of their religion comes from.
Yep.
But the other thing that was interesting too is that she, as the mother, right, was the title they gave her, that she was the leader, which was very uncommon for a woman to be a preacher, right, and
totally.
To be a leader, but that it came from the concept of Adam and Eve, that, you know, God is the likeness of man and woman, so therefore Jesus came as a male, so the second coming could easily be a woman, right? And that's how they packaged it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting, and it is interesting, too, the movie, as you know. At some point, it becomes sort of like a musical, right?
It is billed as a musical.
Yeah, they incorporate traditional, from what I understand, traditional Shaker songs, right?
Yeah.
With, you know, maybe jazzed up, not jazzed up, but, you know,
they
gave it a little bit more modern,
a little bit more
motion picture kind of soundtrack to it. But at first I thought like it was just like they were just singing along at one of their ceremonies. But then there were scenes where they were like when she has her visions, and I said, is this a musical? So it kind of quasi is, right?
Yeah.
But it's definitely, it's a great watch if you want to really understand how her origin. Not exactly family friendly.
No.
I think it is rated R.
I did not bring my children.
Yeah, it is
to
rated
film.
R for, I believe it's rated R.
Yep.
But it is definitely very insightful. I assume that it's accurate.
Yes. Yeah. So that was part of what we were very keen on understanding before we signed on. You said, like, what is the story you're telling here?
Mm-hmm.
And early on, it was always envisioned as a musical. We said, okay, you can do a feature film on Ann Lee. Wow, like, that's amazing that you've taken this interest. It's a tough story. Mm-hmm. It's, like, harsh. It's not this, like, beautiful, lovely story. The inspiration is out of, like, a traumatic time for this woman and this movement. Mm-hmm. And then she said, oh, and it's still going to be a musical. Is it? Uh-huh. I always said, well, we are down for the ride. But first, could you tell us a little bit more about the narrative direction you're taking here? Just because, you know, we felt a responsibility, if we're going to be a part of it, to make sure that it's respectful to the story.
Yeah.
It's got historical integrity.
Right. Is it a musical like Les Mis, or is it more like High School Musical?
Yeah, yeah. Like, where's your tangle we're going here?
Hancock Musical.
Yeah. And we were just so impressed. Most of the influence and sort of the core data, so to speak, that Mona Fastfold infused into the story was mm-hmm. based on the testimonies of Ann Lee and these accounts that were written, not by Ann Lee, but by her very early followers.
Because she was illiterate.
Yes, that is
right?
What...
Which is not uncommon, of course, for that time.
Right. She was believed to be illiterate. And, you know, I think the story was very well factually based in sort of the foundations and the elements that were documented through those early testimonies. And then, of course, there were some, like, artistic liberties, you know, that, oh, there's, how could they have shot, how could Mother of Anne have been in a scene in the brick dwelling in Hancock? That wasn't built till 1830. She was long dead before then. So, you're like, okay, got mm-hmm. it. There's some timing elements, like the oval boxes that were depicted. Those didn't come until a little later. Those are the types of artistic liberties that, like, I'm personally am very comfortable with, mm-hmm. because it's just speaking to the iconography of the Shaker movement,
right?
But the depth and many of even the narrative prose was directly from the historic documents. Mm-hmm. So that felt very good that they were trying to do right by the story. And it's tough, you know, like a lot of people they know the Shakers in the peak of their time in the 1800s, but those early years are just wild to mm-hmm. think about. And mm-hmm. I think that's what is so powerful for this story. It really, you know, there's something about film that just brings you in and you can really kind of imagine and see what it must have been like mm-hmm. to have followed Ann Lee to America, like, no real plan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a planner. When I go on a vacation, like, I got it all lined out. No real plan, just this conviction of belief. And that's just, like, so wild to imagine that. Plus, all the added-on layers of, like, oh, this is a woman. We're being led by a woman. We can't practice our religion in this country. We're being persecuted. Mm-hmm. We're going into this strange land. We don't know anyone here. And they're espousing these very sort of like progressively radical ideas for the time, like gender equality and racial equality. And what, like, how's this going to go? And so, like, it's just sort of an amazing story that not only did it happen and these people like signed on to do this, but that it flourished so impressively mm-hmm. when they arrived in the States after, you know, after a few years of building a foundation. The Shaker movement grew pretty wide and it was pretty strong.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And solid. Like you said, I mean, they built all these communities.
Yeah.
We are talking with Carrie Holland. She's the director and CEO at the Hancock Shaker Village, for those of you who are just joining us. So we talked about the baby animals. We've talked about some of the workshops. What other kind of programming do you have coming up? I see something about go yoga, Shaker suppers. I mean, you've got lots going on. So what would you like to talk about?
So the beauty of being, you know, we're interpreting the Shaker history. The Shaker story, they were like an encompassing community. So they're trying to build their own version of utopia in the New World. So these villages popped up and they were all encompassing, you know, like they would feed themselves. They would grow things. They had a very thriving economic and entrepreneurial practice. So they were making products, they were selling, they were transacting, they were educating, they were worshiping, they were caring for the land. Like, so you can, they have this whole wraparound world. So for us as a museum, when we're trying to interpret that history, we have a lot to work with.
Yeah.
So sometimes
it does encompass a lot.
Yeah. It's a little, sometimes it's overwhelming. You're like, oh my gosh, there's so many things to do. And we only have like so many resources and dates on the calendar to pursue. But so we try to, you know, not to get too technical, but we try to, you know, match the macroeconomics and the macro interests and trends in travel and what are people really gravitating towards and why are they coming to the Berkshires and how can we create an authentic program for those tastes and interests. Mm-hmm. And so one area that's been sort of new, not new because it's always been there, but has had a bit of a resurgence of recent is our food programs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people love to eat. There's lots, farm to table is nothing new. It's been done quite a bit. But like, I have to say, we're doing it very authentically.
Uh-huh.
Like we're doing right,
like
farm
right
to
there.
Table.
Like, just, like you can point to the part of the yard where you just pulled that particular.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So we love to have that like direct garden to fork experience, like within the day. And you're mm-hmm. there's some dinners where you're sitting right in the garden. Mm. So those are very, like the environment is very fun and interesting. And then we pull from all of these shaker recipe books. So that's kind of a cool another layer that creates a level of authenticity. You know, we have the shakers were prolific with their documentation. So we just have letters and receipts and recipe books and little techniques of this and that. So they... we love working with local chefs who will take some of those recipe books and kind of reinterpret them for a modern taste and ideally use things right from our garden when they're in season. And so those shaker suppers and the farm to table dinner series are just really fun ways. And a lot of them are you're sitting communally as the shakers did.
Mm-hmm.
The shakers did sit in silence. So we don't do that.
You've lifted that part, right?
We've lifted.
Can men and women sit together now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So we're taking our own artistic liberties also.
Yeah.
we're inspired by, but not direct interpretation of. So those are very fun because, people love to eat. I think they love to know sort of the origin of the food that they're eating. And there's just great storytelling around that.
And where you mentioned, too, about having all the cookbooks and all that sort of stuff, what's nice about this facility is that when it was still occupied by Shakers.
Yes.
Who I think there's still a few still living in Maine, right?
Yep.
You had keepers of the records who had their library, like, present. It's like you didn't have to go trying to recreate things and pull it back together from other sources. You had all the resources right there, and they were just handed right over, right?
Yeah.
So
the origin
makes
story,
it more
the
authentic,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. And there's things right from Hancock. So we have our collection is nearly 30,000 objects.
Mm.
This origin story of the museum is also quite interesting and ties to the trend of like female leadership doing things that were a little uncommon for the time. So in the shakers, there's a lot we can go here, but Industrial Revolution, like economy started changing, social trends and interests started changing. So there's sort of a peak in the mid 1800s for a while where shaker communities were just flourishing and very strong in numbers. And then late bit of the 1800s, early 1900s, numbers started to dwindle for a variety of reasons. But there's started to become this consolidation across the shaker communities.
Celibacy is not for everybody. Right?
It's not for everyone.
I'm sure that dwindled some of their numbers.
It's
right?
not for everyone. Yeah. And some of the economies that they were giant engines of of wealth, really, in certain times, because they had these beautiful goods that they were selling in New York City, these cloaks and they call them fancy goods, and the dairy products that were coming out of Hancock specifically were very well sought after. The seeds were like a giant revenue generator for the communities. Mm-hmm. Some of that started changing as the broader American economy started to change. Mm-hmm. So there's like the celibacy element, the social interest, like there's a lot of
reasons. Right, so some of those areas in the commerce that they had sort of the market on, they cornered the market because, you know, it's capitalism. So everybody else started doing similar things. So,
yeah.
But that point there about the seeds, I mean, that was sort of their thing. Like that was one thing. So long before Burpee came along or wherever else you get your seeds,
yeah,
we can thank the Shakers for saying, hey, let's put these in a bag and sell them.
They are credited with inventing the seed packet.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was happening. The 1920s, 1930s, more and more consolidation. They realized... at Hancock had been one of the sites where Shakers had reconsolidated again, and they realized, we don't have, we're going to close Hancock as a Shaker village, consolidate once again up into New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So they came to that tough reasoning, and then they said, what's going to happen to this property? We don't know. A developer came. This is like a Hallmark movie. A developer from the city came, and they were going to turn it into a dog track.
And then they fell in love.
yeah, not that part. I guess not that Hallmarky. But. And so there was a plan to change it to a dog racetrack because, beautiful, pristine, cleared land. And then two women, again, recognized the cultural and historic integrity of the space and the significance of it and said, we can't let them raise these buildings. We've got to save them. And so one woman, Faith Andrews, had befriended the Shakers. She had collected a lot of their objects. She knew a lot, like academically. She knew a lot about the Shaker practices. Faith Andrews teamed up with Amy Bess Miller. Amy Bess Miller was the wife of the owner of the Berkshire Eagle, had a lot of connections to Washington, D.C., sort of like society lady, like philanthropically organized in different circles. And so the two of them came together. Amy Bess Miller was sort of the capital and the philanthropic might and the connections. And then Faith Andrews with the knowledge and the collection of objects. And so they kind of came in, they secured the site, turned it into a museum. 1961, it becomes a museum. And Amy Bess Miller kind of brings some organizational management and capital planning to the equation. And Faith Andrews brings like the curatorial element to the equation. And they start a museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
And we're still rolling.
And here we are. So we are coming up on the top of the hour. We are going to just take a quick pause here for station identification and to check in with our sponsors. And again, this is what date?
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th, right? All right, so we'll be back in a moment to talk more about Hancock Shaker Village.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Where does democracy actually begin? Well, it begins right here at home, at our local city and school meetings, the place where really big decisions are made that affect you and your family directly. With good TV coverage, these decisions are transparent. Our residents are well-informed, and elected officials are held accountable. Without reliable coverage, these decisions go under the radar. Support PCTV's local meeting coverage today. Pittsfield Community Television. Democracy starts here.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and we are back. This is the Morning Drive on WTBR, 89.7 FM, WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. So today we are talking about the Hancock Shaker Village, all things Hancock Shaker Village, all things Shakers in Lee. And Carrie Holland is here. She is the director and CEO. So we've got lots to talk about. Before we get into that, we have to revisit the weather, and then we will get back to this conversation.
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Monday, sunny, warmer with highs in the mid-60s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Night is cool with lows around 50. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there we go. That is our weather coming up for the next couple of days. Not too bad. We'll take it. Yeah, we'll take it.
Aware of the very competitive adult soccer league in the Berkshires?
Oh, no.
There's a countywide adult, like the mat. I think they call them the Masters League.
Yeah,
and we have a preseason tournament every year. Uh-huh. And yesterday, that was the tournament at BCC.
Uh-huh.
And we were all a little bit bemoaning the fact that we wished we had today's forecast yesterday.
Yeah,
it was pretty cold.
It was. Yeah, I was outside most of yesterday, and it was just that bitter kind of. Well, for one, actually. In my part of Pittsfield, because I know it could be different three blocks over, but we had a pretty significant bit of snow squall, like around 8:30 in the morning or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started the morning with like, what? It's snowing. And then going over to Hancock Shaker Village, getting, uh-huh. Getting the site set up. And we had a few, some weavers and some spinners doing mm-hmm. some textile demonstrations. Really fun group, GBGP. They were doing some live silk screening for some posters and postcards. Mm-hmm. And they're like, are you guys still up for this? As like little flurries are still sweeping around. Yeah. Everyone was still game and we had a great day. But the wind was still blowing a bit when we had our first kickoff at BCC.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you got it done anyway.
We did. We did. Yes.
But, first week of May is always a tough one around here.
Yeah. You never know which way it's going to go.
Yeah. And speaking of, I just got to make a quick little plug here. On the 7th, which is this Thursday, PCTV has their annual fundraiser called the Eats a Pizza. And it's going to be at 6 p.m. at the Berkshire Hills Country Club. $20 to get in, $10 for kids who are 12 and under. And what you do is you go around, try different pizzas from some local pizza makers like Papa Joe's, Zucco's, Locker Room, Shire Tavern, Papa John's, and Riverside.
Wow.
And then after you've sampled each, and they're decent samples,
yeah,
proportion-wise, you then will vote. On different categories.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
So if you're
dream.
Available this Thursday evening, look into that. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think you can buy tickets at the door. But I would recommend going online and checking there first and seeing getting the tickets in advance. But that's Eats a Pizza this Thursday, if you can help us out. Appreciate
that's
it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, man. I love a good pizza tour.
Yeah, that's one
do
of
you have
the
a favorite? Do you have a favorite pizza spot
yeah,
in the Berkshires?
I'm not gonna say. No, I'm not going to.
We'll find out on Thursday.
I should say I have more than one. So to be fair, it depends on what kind of pizza I'm looking
for. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. We consume quite a bit of pizza yeah. in my family. Yeah. And there are different pizzas for different occasions,
mm-hmm.
different moods,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
different combinations of who is getting
yeah.
the pizza.
Yeah.
Is it like just kids or is it adult? Like there's a lot of variations. I've thought a lot about this, Brian. Think a lot about pizza.
That's the one thing the Shakers never really got into was pizza.
Oh,
right?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
All their culinary expertise.
Yeah.
Oh,
they've got tomato pie. That's about as.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
With some maybe goat cheese. Or
exactly.
Something
they have all the makings of pizza.
Yeah. They had everything they need.
The dough, the bread, like big yeah. bread makers, a lot yeah. of tomato, all of the herbs. The cheese, they were a huge mm-hmm. dairy
yeah, yeah.
farm.
Yeah.
And they just never quite put it all together in that magical way.
That's right. We'll give them a pass on that. We'll give them a pass. So when we talk about the Shaker Village and we talked about all the history there, and I know you've got like some 20 different old structures. Some of them were
yeah.
transplanted there, right?
Yeah.
From other Shaker villages because mm-hmm. this is the museum.
Yeah.
But you guys have a new construction.
We do.
Let's talk about that.
Oh man, I'm so excited. This is like one of those projects that's always it's been thought about and many iterations and many directors. It's almost like since that building was constructed about 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the building we're talking about, many people will think of it as the ticketing building. So it's the main, there's sort of like the new campus and the historic campus.
Mm-hmm.
The new campus is right when you walk in at the main entrance. There's the big building where you buy your tickets, and then there's the cafe and the Shaker Mercantile, basically the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the new campus. Those are non-Shaker buildings, and they were constructed in the new era as a museum.
Mm-hmm.
So that large building where you go in and generally get your tickets, that was built and completed around 1990, 2000 or so. At the time, the group there said, we don't have the fundraising right now, but we know there is growth and we know we need to consider that for the future. So we are going to build a second floor, but the second floor was never finished.
Yeah.
So we have this huge opportunity. Our collection is bursting at the seams. We are continuing to get more and more amazing objects. They need more care. The environmentals need to be improved. So there's a few drivers. And this is kind of, people have been thinking about this for almost a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a few concepts and, then all of a sudden you've got momentum and then something happens in the historic buildings and you have to redirect energy, financial capacity to fix that because that's really, it's our core mission is stewardship responsibility to maintain mm-hmm. and care for these buildings. So there's so many reasons why there were starts and stops to this project. But it's finally off the ground. We're working with an architect out of Cambridge,
mm-hmm.
and who not only is a great architect, but also really specializes in exhibit design. And we're working with Allegroni, local construction group, and they've been so amazing to help us make the design work in terms of the constructability and the Berkshires match, sort of,
mm-hmm.
of this design firm. And we had sort of two main drivers. How do we, number one, create more space to care for the collection? So number one, like how can we be better stewards of all these objects that are under our responsibility. So now we have incredible curatorial space to care and present our collection. And then number two, how do we improve the visitor experience? You know, I think there's so much museum study and sort of like best practices and evolving trends of how do you connect your story to visitors. And those, it changes all the time because people consume knowledge and experience things in very different ways all the time. So it's not, it's definitely not a static approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, what's the best and newest way that we can be doing right by sharing the Shaker history and kind of tying the timelessness of it, that there's always a something that you can take from things that were kind of created and set in the 1700s to today's time. It's like, that's part of the timeless magic of the Shakers, I think. And so how can we use the space to better tell our stories and orient visitors and enrich the visitor experience? So those are the two main drivers. And we have this amazing design I'm so excited about. We're in the like painful nitty gritty detail of like, what grout color should we have? And do you really like that pull? Should we, should it be vertical or horizontal? And like you drown in some of the, all these decisions. But then like clear the deck and you walk through the construction and see all the progress. You're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. So we are getting closer and closer. If visitors come, they'll clearly see the perimeter fence. And right now, all of the cladding is off exteriors. You know, it's down to the Tyvek paper. We're putting in new windows and doors now, and exterior will go up soon. But the interior is getting a complete overhaul, renovation, brand new HVAC systems, which sounds very boring, but is critical to our ability to do right by the objects, and a whole new circulation that will add three new galleries so we can share the objects and bring in very interesting new exhibitors. We have some crazy cool stuff coming for our opening. The gallery that's focused on Shaker design will feature an artist from Japan that's really focused on the inspiration that the Shakers have had over, like, throughout the world, largely in craft and furniture making. George Nakashima Woodworkers is a big, if you're in the woodworking world and furniture world, that name carries a lot of depth and weight. So they will be exhibiting, which is just so phenomenal, next to this two-floor open collection storage room. And then we've got another guest curator who will be working on sort of this like Berkshire story of here's what was going on in the Shaker Village in Hancock. Here's what was going on in the Berkshires around it. So like a Shaker dress next to a Victorian dress to kind of create that juxtaposition a bit. And then one of my favorite spaces is the addition of what we're calling the community gallery. And that is a space for Shaker-inspired contemporary artists. There's so much to draw from. And I think a lot of artists, especially in New England, in the Berkshires, all throughout the Hudson region, you know, find a lot of inspiration. I'm sort of overusing that word, but creative energy and from all of the craft that the Shakers used, their use of color, and then really like the intention behind all of their work. So the Shakers never did anything just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It always had a practical, functional reason.
Yeah.
They weren't particularly like embellished in their work. Yeah.
And I found
it was
that
beautiful.
Yeah, when I've been in there, and I'm always like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like that makes sense.
Yes.
Just the simplicity of it.
Simple yep. efficiencies. And so that's just like, there's a lot to draw on from there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, perched with the natural world, feels very mm-hmm. Berkshires.
Yeah.
So we have this beautiful space for contemporary artists to showcase their work and windows looking out over the Roundstone Barn with the new deck. And I just think that will help draw in and connect the two campuses a bit more.
Yeah.
And we kind of have this fun moment this year while we're opening the new building in the summer. In August, that will be open to the public. That married with the fact that the Roundstone Barn is turning 200 this year.
Right.
You know, so there's a very nice past, present, future kind of conversation that we can have across the campus.
Yeah, that's coming up on 200 years, right, for the round bar. Mm-hmm. So that's among all the other, you know, we've got 250 years this year for our country, and then 200 years on that barn. That's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So there's so much going on. Anybody who's just joining us in studio, we're talking with Carrie Holland. Carrie is the director and CEO at the Hancock Shaker Village. We've covered a lot already, but again, we're not going to cover everything today. We just can't. So please go to the website. What is the website, Carrie?
HancockShakerVillage.org.
Okay, go to the website. You can look up all the different events that are happening there. But let's touch on a few of them.
Yeah.
Well, for one, you've got a gala coming up.
We do. Right,
in August, so look into that, folks. But also, we're talking about things like, what's nice about the things that you have scheduled here, provide people other ways to sort of experience Hancock Shaker Village without necessarily having to do the full tour, even though that's
exactly
fantastic in itself. But also, you've got the farm-to-table things. You've got some, I'll just rattle off a few things, and you can pick and choose where you want to go.
Yeah.
But you got the back porch concerts, you've got the Shaker suppers, goat yoga, and the farm from table stuff, then a craft beer and barbecue that's coming up in June.
Yep.
And then further down the line, you've got some haunted Hancock tours.
Yeah.
But also you've got like a summer, is it a summer camp? Is that for kids or
yes,
for anybody?
Summer on the Farm is an awesome program. It's very unique because the kids get real working farm experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed in with like a lot of craft and the arts and crafts and like sprinkler time. So it's not a heavy labor camp. but the sort of understanding how to care for animals and getting those introductory experiences, it ranges right from 6 all the way to 14.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of families end up coming back year after year, for about a week. And then their kids kind of see the progression in their care. And it's kind of filling a really nice gap that, you know, I think 4-H used to be a little bit bigger and different agricultural type programs. This is like ag light.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to have that experience of working with the animals, learning more about their care. Also learning some Shaker crafts and doing treasure hunts around the campus and accidentally getting a little history lessons throughout. And so that's a great program. Our director of education, Cindy Dickinson, is a wizard with so much of what she does. She's such a huge asset to the Berkshire's community, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so she runs a wonderful program there. Yeah, it's very cool.
What I found interesting about the Shakers that I've learned is that, you know, if you go by the movie, of course, they came from the city. These are city folk,
yeah,
the first ones. And so they learned all of this agriculture stuff, and they brought people in who had some more experience and really kind of mastered it.
Right? Yeah.
And I think that's a big draw for people, and I think that's why a lot of these little programs are speaking to people, because I think, and again, as much as the Shakers embraced the technology of their time, the technology that we deal with now, I think there's really this this drive for people to kind of step back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you offer is that happy that safe spot, or that the happy medium.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Like they really like if that time frame right there just seems to really be just enough technology, but not to the level we are at now.
Definitely.
And so I think people enjoy being able to step back to that and take advantage of things like these dinners and these tours and these experiences.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there's an appetite for kind of returning to some of the...
Totally.
Which, of course, goes back to Ann Lee's whole... the motto, right, which was heart to God, hands to work, right?
Hands to work, heart to God.
Okay,
yes.
Got it backwards. Okay. So I think there's an appetite for that, and I think that's something that you really bring to the community.
It really is, and I think now, in so many ways, having a break from, you know, screens and technology to kind of, like, do things more tactically and communally, like doing things with people that you are using your hands for, there's just such an interest and demand for that. And I think the cottagecore, you know, to use an influencer phrase, the cottagecore movement and the farm to table and even more home gardening and the bread making out of COVID, like, I think there's sort of people are feeling as they're over-consumed with technology and all these things all around them.
Mm-hmm.
I think having a thing to do quietly and focused with intention and with your hands. There's something very satisfying to think about that.
Yeah. And you've got the walking trails.
And the walking trails, yes.
Yeah.
The best, this is it's like the best job. I had a very strange, non-traditional path to the role here. And one thing that like really hooked me to kind of jump from interim director to director, that campus just sucks you right in. Mm. We have such a great team. And then going to that place, there's kind of this eerie, magical quality. We won't go there. You just have to experience it for yourself. But being on the campus, and there's this one loop trail. It's about a mile, farm and field loop trail on our campus. It's just like the best thing to do. You had a bunch of meetings. You've been working on some spreadsheets, working on budgets or whatever it is. And then you go out through the gardens, through the woods. Mm. There's a little historic section where you can see some of the old buildings, their foundations. And then you loop back, you pass the cows, you're coming back on the Roundstone Barn, like slowly emerges over this gorgeous little meadow. And then you're back into the campus. It's just awesome. It's awesome.
And at any point where you're doing that, are you saying, I'm working?
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
So, I'm working right now.
I will sometimes like grab someone and I was like, let's just do a quick loop and we'll catch up on what's going on in your department.
Yeah.
And then there's the Shaker Mountain trails across that are part of the Pittsfield State Forest.
Mm.
Those are amazing. And those are, there is actually some Shaker interpretation along the way through some of those. And Shaker Mountain is one of their most holy sites. It's a great recreation site now for folks, but there's a crazy cool story of how the Shakers used that space, their mountain meetings. One of the scenes sort of depicts the like ecstatic worship outside,
mm-hmm.
That I think is a little bit of a parallel to the mountain meetings. And they used to do that right there on that site. And there's like there's some charged energy up there if you happen upon it. So there's just great access to the outdoors and feeling healthy and feeling like life is abundant mm-hmm. on that campus.
Yeah, no, for absolutely. Definitely feel that. And then you got other things like the cafe.
Yes.
You know, if people are visiting, there is a place that you can eat. Mm-hmm. Right? You have the cafe for lunch.
Totally.
Right?
Yep. Okay. We're working with a great bakery, and they're doing some Shaker adjacent bakery items in the cafe.
Mm-hmm. Got to tie it in with the Shakers.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's so much to tie in. And then, and of course, too, you've got your proms and your weddings and all the other things that can happen on that property.
Yes.
It's such a, what a fantastic background.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. You can completely like just wipe out your budget for decor and decorations. You don't need it.
Yeah,
you just
true.
Open the tent guys, and there you go.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's a pretty special site. We love hosting, you know, family parties, weddings, proms, birthdays,
mm-hmm.
anniversaries, any number of things, family reunions. It's a great space. And I think, you know, on baby animals especially, you just see the multi-generational quality of how like 0 to 100 people are having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finding something that aligns with their interests. There's just so many, the campus lends itself so well to so many different activities.
Yeah.
Like you can let the kids run around and there's a nice fence, you know, they're not going to get into too much trouble. They can touch a lot of stuff. So you're not as worried about them. Like when I bring my kids to the Clark, I am like a nervous wreck. Yeah. I like, don't touch anything. So there's a nice quality there. Yeah. And
if it is something that shouldn't be touched, you've probably got some kind of barrier. There,
exactly.
Right? Yes.
There's good signage.
Otherwise, okay.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yep.
So we've got about a minute left. Carrie Holland, she's the director and CEO at Hancock Shaker Village. So Carrie, what with that minute, what do you want to tell the public?
I just would love to invite everybody to come back. There's a lot of people have in the county, especially like, oh, I've driven by there so many times, but I haven't been in a while. Or last time I was there was for a third grade field trip. Just like come back, find a goat yoga thing, find a dinner, find a random day. You can check out at any library in the area. You can check out a library pass
mm-hmm.
for free and come.
Mm-hmm.
And just come back because there's so many layers of discovery, and at a very minimum, you'll have just a very relaxing, peaceful time.
Yeah.
A nice afternoon.
Lots of great stuff at the Hancock Shaker Village. Definitely go to the website, check it out. So again, today, enjoy the rest of your day. This is May the 4th.
May the 4th.
What do we say about that? What's
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. So this is Star Wars Day, right? So let's not forget that. But again, thank you, everybody. Enjoy this week. Enjoy this day from WTBR and WSBR. We appreciate you tuning in with us and starting your day off with us. Hope you'll enjoy the rest of the week. Please keep in mind our men and women serving overseas. And get out to Hancock Shaker Village. All right. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you so much for having me.